Hello, and this is the Archaeology News Weekly. I'm David Connolly, and apologies for the short break in service, but I was away on fieldwork on our project in Croatia. However, I had to cut this short, as today I must sadly announce the death of my mother after a long battle with dementia, which was deeply heartbreaking for us all. This was a very sad end to a dear friend as well as a mother who supported me as a 13-year-old boy when I begged to go on a cave dig in the Wye Valley between England and Wales. She was always interested in everything I did and always had time for any archaeologist who was fortunate or unfortunate enough to cross her path. She was always there for a chat or her famous biscuits and coffee. Nobody left without being well fed. She also worked tirelessly keeping the admin and accounts of Badger up to date and in order, using her skills as a medical secretary. She brought order to chaos and made sure the bills were always paid, as it's very hard to say no to an 80-year-old, isn't it? As a tribute to her and her silent contribution to UK archaeology, as without her I would not be half the archaeologist I am now, I'm in the process of setting up the Eleanor Donaldson Fund to support budding archaeologists from the UK to get involved in fieldwork. For without her support, it would have been very hard for me, and I'm sure she would love to know that she'll continue to help generations of new archaeologists follow their dreams. I'll report on this later when I've got everything sorted out. So until then, I would very much like to dedicate this news broadcast to my wonderful mother, Eleanor Alice Donaldson. You're very much loved and very much missed. The main headlines from around the world are as follows. Rising seas could spell doom for Orkney Islands and archaeology. A site in Pennsylvania gives clues to early settlement. And ancient tombs are being restored in Mallorca. The kelp highway theory proposed for coast settlement in the Americas is raised again, and still in the Americas, the Miami Circle site may soon open as a park. A skeleton found in India pushes back leprosy's origins, and we also report on the Gypsum Cave in Nevada, which provides glimpses of a very distant past. The Middle East's oldest village is possibly unearthed in Iran, and also unearthed briefly is a Bronze Age trackway in Wales. We finish with reports on ancient irrigation systems unearthed in Arizona. The Orkney Island of Sandy in northern Scotland, like the Maldives, may be uninhabitable by the end of the century, a leading climate scientist warned. More dramatically, some experts fear the low-lying spit of land could split into two or more islands within the lifetime of its 500 residents. Sandy and neighbouring North Ronaldsay are now seen as so-called bellwether islands. Their low elevation and exposed positions mean they will be among the first places in the Western world to face the brunt of global warming, even if the most optimistic predictions come true. Orkney's internationally important Neolithic sites are also at risk, with archaeologists now openly debating how and when they will abandon Scar Brae, the Stone Age village unearthed ironically by huge storms and now precariously nestled between an eroding sandy beach. Orkney's council leader, Stephen Hagen, described changes in the island's climate so far as subtle, but he did add that there is nothing they can physically do to stop the rising sea levels. Meadowcroft Rock Shelter is an inviting sandstone overhang in a tributary valley of the Ohio River that's been welcoming anglers, hunters and travellers since the times of the Paleo-Indians. The site in Novella, 30 miles southwest of Pittsburgh, is now a National Historic Landmark. Its 52 carbon dates, in almost perfect stratigraphic order, reflect a continuous human record of 16,000 plus years. Closed in 2007, the landmark has reopened with a new shelter of its own, a $2.3 million enclosure that's bolted into the bedrock. A new roof protects the archaeological dig, and new platforms allow more visitors to see the excavated levels and start piecing the timeline together for themselves. Archaeologists began digging in 1973, led by James M. Adovasio, a University of Pittsburgh professor. For now, the dig is quiet, but millions of bone fragments, plant materials and cultural artefacts such as basketry fragments are being studied at Mercyhurst Archaeological Institute. As Adivasio and his students excavated down into the layers of silt, the cultural evidence kept getting older and older, and by the time they hit bedrock about 15 feet down, he was sending specimens for carbon dating, and the word back was staggering, at least 16 to 17,000 years old. But perceived wisdom in archaeology said that people arrived in the New World only around 11,500 years ago. Some archaeologists complained that his samples had been contaminated, possibly by nearby coal fields. But after results came back from four labs around the world, with no signs of contamination and identical carbon-14 dates, some scientists changed their minds. Most of these critical artefacts are now at Mercyhurst, but visitors can see some of the items from 4000 BCE to 2000 BCE in the Meadowcroft Museum. About a third of the site remains untouched, preserved for future archaeologists with as yet undreamed of technologies. A team of archaeologists are working to restore the prehistoric necropolis at Son Real in Mallorca in the state that it was first excavated in the 1960s. During the initial excavation of the site, the experts decided to dismantle one of the graves. These graves were made from close-fitting stones in the form of upturned boats, and such a practice would be unthinkable in this day and age. This particular type of grave is still on display in the Museum of Mallorca. However, since the year 2006, a team of archaeologists working under the direction of Margalida Muner has been working on the site in the hope of restoring the area to its original condition. They have more than 2,000 photographs from the 60s which gave them information as to how the necropolis would have looked at the time. They can even identify all the stones, which means that they'll be able to restore the tombs to their original condition when they were built around 1000 BCE. The Pacific coast of the Americas was settled starting around 15,000 years ago during the last glacial retreat by seafaring peoples following a kelp highway rich in marine resources, so a noted professor of anthropology has theorized. John Erlandson, director of the Museum of Natural and Cultural History at the University of Oregon, suggested that especially productive sweet spots, such as the estuaries of the Fraser and Stikine rivers, served as corridors by which people settled in the interior of the provinces, as these migrating people were already sophisticated in harvesting from the sea and would have then worked their way down the coast in search of new sites. The kelp highway theory runs up against the long-held belief of the first humans entering the Americas on a land bridge that spanned the Bering Straits. Erlandson said that the kelp highway represented a diverse ecosystem and would have extended from what is today Japan, past Russia's Kamchatka Peninsula and Alaska's Aleutian Islands, all the way down the west coast of North America to Mexico, and then continue again in the waters of Peru, Ecuador, Chile in South America. Kelp forests would have provided a migration corridor near shore with no major barriers, and the first seafarers may have overexploited resources initially amidst a windfall of marine life, but over time they would have learned to live sustainably off the ocean. Erlison is part of research on California's Channel Islands that has found evidence of human occupation, the Chumash people, spanning 13,000 years. They must have therefore found a way to live sustainably from the ocean around them. If only we could learn these same lessons. The Miami Circle, a 2,000-year-old Native American site that Florida taxpayers shelled out $27 million to buy 10 years ago, may finally open to the public under a frugal state plan that would create a low-key park around the ancient landmark. The $750,000 plan calls for a paved promenade around the 2.2-acre site at the mouth of the Miami River, a drop-off circle for school buses and cars, a bit of modest landscaping and lighting, and a few interpretive signs. The circle itself, a carving in the limestone that archaeologists believe supported a structure with ceremonial uses, will remain invisible for now because the state has neither the plan nor the money to display it. Instead, stones would be marking the circumference of the circle, which is protected under several layers of fill. There's a hitch, however. The state and the Historical Museum of Southern Florida, which manages the site under contract, are at least $250,000 short of the amount needed for this park's construction. Circle supporters say they are confident the shortfall can be made up by pooling contributions from local and state agencies eager to see this project completed. The plan for a basic park represents a change of course by state and museum, who as recently as January were determined to embark on a lengthy master planning process that would have put off opening the circle until 2012. Well, hopefully people at Stonehenge can learn from that, go for perhaps a slightly more attainable and cheaper option to get started. Leprosy has been with us a lot longer than we thought. In a new study, researchers report the discovery of a 4,000-year-old skeleton in India with all the hallmark ravages of the disease. The find pushes back the origins of leprosy by at least 1,500 years and gives clues on how the disease spread across the globe. Until now, the earliest widely accepted evidence for leprosy has been from South Asian texts dating to the 6th century BCE. The Vedas, the sacred writings of Hinduism, mention what could be leprosy near the end of the 2nd millennium BCE. Now it appears that the Vedic texts were actually accurate. A team of Indian and US scientists reports finding signs of leprosy in a skeleton buried about 4,000 years ago in northwest India. The skeleton was found during excavations of a site called Balathal in Rajasthan. There, a settlement of copper-working people lived in stone and mud brick huts and grew barley. The bones were buried in ash from cow dung in a thick-walled stone enclosure on the edge of the settlement. Radiocarbon dating indicated the skeleton, a male in his late 30s, was buried between 2500 and 2000 BCE. Although the skeleton was fragmentary, researchers found erosion and pitting of the bones around the nose and cheeks, as well as the ribs, vertebra and limbs. Loss of bone around the nose and destruction of the nasal spine is a hallmark of leprosy, or so say the authors, led by anthropologist Gwen Robbins of the Appalachian State University in Boone, North Carolina. The authors say they were able to rule out the other most likely explanations of the man's condition, namely tuberculosis or bone infection. The report sheds light on where leprosy emerged and how it found its way around the globe. A genomic analysis in 2005 suggested that the disease would have first spread with the emergence of modern humans from East Africa. Other researchers have suggested more recent origins. The authors favour the notion that leprosy appears around the 3rd millennium BCE, possibly in India, as urbanisation and trade routes grew because close contact between humans is needed for disease transmission. Helen Donoghue, an infectious disease specialist at University College London, said that the new findings was fascinating and fit in with the theory that Alexander's army had brought leprosy back from its campaigns in India. Dr. Robin said that she plans to extract ancient bacterial DNA from the Indian skeleton and hoped it might resolve just how the disease originated. When he excavated Gypsum Cave in Nevada, USA in the 1930s, archaeologist Mark Harrington concluded that humans and late Pleistocene animals used the cave around the same time. It was an astounding theory, because it would have made the cave, which is in the Frenchman Mountains east of Las Vegas, one of the oldest human habitation sites in North America. More recently, technology indicates the humans came much later than Harrington supposed, but the cave is still an important archaeological and paleontological site. One of the prominent features of the cave is a thick layer of ground sloth dung. Harrington found claws and other remains of the ground sloth, as well as evidence of prehistoric horses and camels. Harrington's surprise discovery was darts and other human artifacts below the ground sloth layer. Since the Shasta ground sloth became extinct about 9,000 years ago, the evidence seemed to indicate human habitation before that. But when radiocarbon dating technology became available, tests showed that human evidence was not much older than 4,000 years. There was a potential that the actual bones had been dragged underneath this ground sloth level by later rodents. Harrington found an extraordinary amount of perishable material as well, though, such as cordage, wood, cane and fibres. The dry climate preserved the archaeological material, as well as other material from the Pleistocene age. A real treasure trove for archaeologists, that one. Iranian and UK archaeologists have discovered the Middle East's oldest village, which dates back to at least 9800 BCE in western Iran. The unique archaeological discovery reveals Iran was a centre of Neolithic activity. Hassan Fazeli, the director of Iran's Archaeology Research Centre, said the site dates back to 9800 BCE, and evidence suggests continued occupation until 7400 BCE. Cultural officials plan to introduce the oldest human dwelling to UNESCO, and opening the historical site for public viewing is a step along this line. A Bronze Age road has been found below Swansea's shifting foreshore in Wales. The short section of track was discovered by a metal detector enthusiast, and archaeologists have now dated it to around 4,000 years ago. Woven from narrow branches of oak and alder, the structure was covered in a thin layer of brushwood to provide a level walking surface. It was found in March when it was uncovered by storms, but has since disappeared back under the marine clays. Brian Price, a member of the Swansea Metal Detecting Club, reported the discovery opposite the Bryn Mill area to the Glamorgan Gwent Archaeological Trust. A sample was then sent for Beta Analytic Radiocarbon Laboratory in Florida for dating and was found to be from the early Bronze Age, sometime between 2140 and 1930 BCE. Andrew Sherman, Assistant Project Officer, said that during the early Bronze Age, the climate was drier and warmer than it was today, and sea levels would have been significantly lower. The trackway was therefore probably built through wet, marshy environment. Because it had been eroded by the tide, it is impossible to tell whether the entire trackway was composed of hurdles or whether the occasional hurdle has been laid across particularly wet patches of ground. The Trust said that there was very little evidence of early Bronze Age settlement in the area, with lots of funeral and ritual sites such as barrows, cairns and standing stones, but no habitation structures. What an incredible find, and isn't it amazing a metal detectorist can find something made of wood? Archaeologists preparing for the expansion of Tucson in Arizona, USA, have discovered the remains of the earliest known irrigation system in the Southwest, a farming community that dates back to at least 1200 BCE. That predates the well-known and more sophisticated Hohokam tribal canal system, which crisscrossed what is now Phoenix by over 1,000 years. The find suggests that the people who inhabited the region began with relatively simple irrigation systems and built up to more complex projects as the climate became hotter and drier. These are not the earliest canals known in southern Arizona, but they are the most extensive and sophisticated engineering from that period that has been identified to date. The site, called Las Capas, sits on the confluence of the Rilito Creek and the Santa Cruz River. Researchers already knew that the site had been inhabited during what is known as the San Pedro phase of the early agricultural period in the Southwest. Earlier work at the plant had revealed traces of pit houses, fire pits and ditches. What is believed to be the main dwelling is now buried under the adjacent Interstate 10. Evidence indicates that the region suffered from a huge flood about 800 BCE, which buried the canal system. There's some evidence that they tried to get it going again, but apparently this did not work. The evidence is that they cleaned out some sections, but never brought it back to full operation. The inhabitants most likely moved upriver to other villages. Well, on this kind of sad podcast news, I'll just bring it to an end with thank you for listening to this edition. Thank you for bearing with me. And can I remind you to have a look at the latest issue 8 of the Past Horizons magazine, the free online magazine of archaeological volunteering across the world. You can find that at www.pasthorizons.com/magazine. Can I also remind people that many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as a UK heritage calendar, library and guidance section, can be found on my own website at Badger. That's www.bajr.org. This news, of course, was brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources, and all the stories were collected from various sources. And to view details in each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. Thanks very much for listening.